What's in your thoughts? Oh, what's in your mind? What fills your head and what leaves it behind? It's too much today. It's too much today.
Hey there, listeners, and welcome back to Filling in the Gaps Rerolled. We hope you had some great gaming since the last time you listened, and if you're new, welcome to the table. We may not be an actual play podcast, but we're a podcast that hopes to help you actually play. What exactly? RPGs, of course. Role-playing games for any noobs in the audience. We are three DMs who create stories and sessions based on a randomized theme and scenario given to us by our tables we have here. We roll two d20s to figure out what we're going to get from that. So, with that out of the way, let's introduce ourselves. I'm one of your hosts, Malcolm.
I am your theme host for today, DM Mambo, or Sam.
I'm going to be rolling for our scenarios. I am David. Hello.
So, okay, guys, how you doing today? I have to pull up questions because I forgot that part, too. It's been a while.
It's been a while.
In the real world, you guys haven't experienced any lapse in episodes with any hope, but sometimes it's just been a while. So, question of the week, let's see what we have. Okay, here's a good one, because this is how I built my first character. Have you ever built a character the wrong way? And if so, what happened to them?
No, I have a really bad tendency to min-max, and so it's hard for me to do that. I know I like to see how people have like thought built through stuff like that. I think the closest is I had a character once who was like a barbarian half-orc who thought he was a wizard. Just like he had a spell book, but it was just like crayon drawings, and most of his spells were just ways that he named how he would hit you with his axe, which was his staff. But it wasn't built wrong, I would say. It was just played different.
Okay. Sam, what about you?
excuse me. I don't min-max ever, but I guess building wrong for me would be I have trouble when I'm trying to make a character and like say if you start at level 5, I can multi-class pretty easily, but if we start at level 1, it's very hard for me to like break away. So I don't know if I've ever made a character the wrong way. I mean, actually, I should say I did definitely for when we did Call of Cthulhu. I made a character completely wrong, and I had no idea what I was doing. Yeah.
I don't think any of us did at that time, but that's okay.
Yeah, you know, I just like to have fun with my characters, so there's always something kooky and quirky with them. So I guess, I don't know, wrong. I just, you know, like David, I have fun. And, yeah.
For me, I hinted at my first character being the one that's difficult here. Also, one sec, I gotta make sure. Yeah, no, okay, that's picking up. My mic's doing something weird, so I wanted to double check that. But my first character was a wizard dwarf, and those two things are not designed to be built together. Because dwarves don't know that, but I thought that would be an excellent roleplay opportunity. And it was. The problem was the fact that it was my first character, and you might want to start with something a bit more basic or a bit simpler if you're going to do that. Granted, none of us really knew what we were doing back then. I believe even my first DM was like, oh no, AC is just extra hit points, right? We was completely wrong. But we had a great time, and we were all hanging out, and we're all friends. And that's what really matters about D&D. There's no wrong way to play D&D if you're hanging out with your friends. So we got that question at some point, so I wanted to put it on here. But yeah, I don't think you can really build one wrong, but I think you can build one wrong for the setting also.
That's true.
Like, the power level can be rough. Like, I remember I made a character, and everyone else was very well maximized. And was like very powerful, and I was like, I just want to make them like, you're going to die. And I was like, no, I won't. My character died within about 3 sessions. And then they said, we're going to help you make a better character. And I said, yes. So I get you there.
That actually reminds me of a fun character I built once in D&D 3.5. There was a class, a prestige class that you would take after like your original classes, because they had a whole weird multi-classing system. But the character's whole focus was he wanted to turn people into stone. So he would use the flesh to stone spells and then shrink you permanently and keep you on a chessboard of all the different things that he fought. It was his trophy case.
I like that. That's really fun.
And he was also a dwarf.
Hmm.
Yeah, see, I like...
I thought it was going to be, like, an artist who's like, I made these! Look, it's so realistic!
That would be funny. Like, that would be hysterical. Look how great his detail ship is. He's like, is that my mom? She's gone missing for, like, a week now. Is that my mom? That would be so funny. I guess going back, looking at it after hearing that is, I do have troubles making characters when I don't know the what stats I'm going to have beforehand. The point by system is very hard for me because I'm so used to rolling that when doing so, I would like it was hard to find a character that I wanted to use because there's always going to be like the quote unquote dump stat. And when you roll, you don't always get that. So I'm usually all pretty fleshed out. So I know what I'm going to do. And it's hard for me to make a character like Malcolm's dwarf wizard. I have to pick a class where like that race that I want to play has an expertise in. Or it really like throws off my mind.
Mm-hmm.
See, I'm very much square peg, round hole. We're going to make it fit. It's going to go.
Yeah, I would love to at some point to make like a rogue satyr. Because I think that'd just be hysterical. Like, how are you sneak attacking? You're a full horse body, 8-foot-tall creature. Or a Lexodon rogue. I think that'd be hysterical. It uses his trunk to, like, use its sneak attack.
I was about to say that, or a Goliath, I was even thinking.
Yeah, I think Goliath, more and more people are using them as rogues and, like, the fun stuff. Or, you know, the always, like, the half-orc rogue who just says, smash!
Mm-hmm. The half-orc that doesn't have a stealth score, but just intimidates you into thinking that he's not there.
Yes. I saw that, like, years ago, that someone, like, posted that. I was like, I want to play that one day. That was the one moment my sister asked me once about D&D, and she's like, I saw a thing where, like, a guy goes like, you don't see me. And then people are like, all right, with nobody here, like, and like left. I was like, is that how D&D works? And I was like, yes, actually. Yeah. So yeah.
Classic stories.
Oh, they're fantastic.
On that note, I have a question for you, Sam.
Yeah. What's up, David?
Shall we roll?
No. JK, let's do it! Today, I'll be rolling on the lovely themes table, and I'm just going to use the purple dice that have been sitting in front of my brand new desk, because we all decided to move at the same time.
Isn't that just a wonderful, serendipitous thing?
I'm going to be rolling scenarios, and I've got a nice little steampunk die.
And I'm going to be explaining what this part means. So, Sam and David are currently rolling for themes and scenarios that we're going to use to help you build either an RPG role-playing game. That thought escaped me. One sec. Sam and David are rolling right now to help you build an RPG or role-playing game session or campaign. So right now, we're going to figure out what their roles are.
I got, for scenarios, an 18.
And I have a 16.
All right, let's see what that gets us.
Huh.
All right, so it looks like we have Wizard of Oz from LaGravy, and we have Get Rich Quick Scheme from Ren.
So
I do really want to get rich real fast. Yeah. Just to bring him in and be like, yo, we joked about that when we first got it on the list, that we're like, we should just pause the podcast, go get rich, and put him on here. Here he is now.
That would be funny.
we could edit it.
We could edit it and just have him say, hey, I'm rich.
We just take it from an old episode.
That would be good. So our theme is Wizard of Oz, and our scenario is Get Rich Quick.
Quick scheme. And I gotta admit, I'm a little disappointed, if only because this one feels like it fits together more so. And I like the ones where it's like, whack.
The Wizard of Oz literally did this.
Exactly, like... We have some weird ones now. Like, we have Tony Hawk fighting aliens on there. We have a bunch of stuff now that's just like, Which, by the way, thank you guys so much for submitting themes and scenarios. Feel free to do that at FitGDND or at our Discord, which you can find by looking us up on Twitter at FitGDND.
Malcolm, say that one more time for the people in the back.
At FitGDND, in case you, it's hard to spell, it's FITGDND.
You've heard it here, folks, first. And now, back to this episode.
Yeah, let's get cracking. Anyone got something for this? Because all I can think of is just teaming up with a wizard, and I don't want to do that.
I'm trying to think of Wicked 2, the highly acclaimed musical, Wicked.
Oh, fantastic. Let's just go get Idina Menzel real quick.
Yeah, with Rich.
Wouldn't it be nuts when this comes out, we actually somehow take it both? Anyway, our editor has also brought up Oz the Great and the Powerful.
Now, what if we take it in, we're in a prison, and we go, there's the Wizard of Oz, but...
Over my head on that one.
Oz was an old... Was it HBO?
HBO. It's like one of their... It was like their first, like, we're good at making mini shows.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, was that the one with the Tin Man? And he's like,
No, this is prison. This was a gruesome one.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, The Wizard of Oz actually does have a sequel called Return to Oz, where it's, like, infinitely darker.
Yeah, there's a whole slew of books. It's, like, a long series.
No, but they made a movie out of the other one, too. People don't talk about it because it's, like, nightmare fuel and very ugly to look at.
I don't think we have it as a theme or scenario elsewhere, although it might get added later in. I'm going to slightly add a theme to make this work in my head. So we have Get Rich Quick Scheme, and we joked about bringing Rich on. So I'm going to toss in a little bit of Highlander. In this game, we're going to have someone who wants to gather all of the riches of the world or of the universe, multiverse, and they want to get all the riches and maybe fight them, maybe determine who is the best rich, just like there was that recent competition of who had the best, was it Jake?
Josh.
Who is the best Josh? So we're going to have that, but in The Wizard of Oz.
Okay. So let's break down Wizard of Oz. Let's break that down. Because there's a few things we can go with Wizard of Oz. There is, like, the traditional story, where we have, like, the three locations that she goes to, mm-hmm. with the three friends, and all that. And then there is also, like, the witches' stories. There's different things we can... I feel like there's something there that's, like, super obvious and different.
That's good. So your party kind of gets tornadoed away to this magical land, and they're not sure how it happened. In reality, they were summoned by the Grand Wizard Rich. And it turns out one or more of the players in your party is named Rich. And you've been summoned for the Grand Rich Tournament.
Wait. Yeah, what if we did modernizing your Highlander to something I'm a bit more familiar with. What if we do like a Spider-Verse thing where it's just whoever happens and it pulls all the people who are like the variation... For those who like Loki, hey, look, this time we can actually mention Loki, because we recorded later after Loki's complete, as I promised. Anyway, so we can have variants or various versions of them all get summoned. They're all, because I've heard a couple people talk about doing a campaign like this of all different versions of one person. And don't worry, Rich, from the old Filling in the Gap show, this isn't about you. We're not doing this for just you, unless you're flattered, in which case, totally about you.
No, that is the Rich. No, but I think I like that. I think your party could be all different forms of the same character. Like, their races and stuff can change, but they all have, like, maybe, like, the same class. But I think you can use different, like, Richards from that are famous, you know, like Richard Simmons could be popping up as like something, I don't know, something like a satyr. But then you got Richard III comes in.
Richard Nixon,
yeah. Let's see, Richard Kind, who is like that background guy all the time.
So you're pulled to this magical land. And
you realize what I just realized, didn't you?
The skill here is you're all going out to see how well you can accurately measure something that is existing in this magical land. And you get to this location, you go... Hold on. I don't know if I can get the joke out. You go here, and you're told, welcome to the dick measuring competition.
I'm glad we both realized that at the same time, David. Because right as you're like, I got something, I was like, I was about to make a dick joke, and now I can't.
So we're basically recreating Dick Fight Island.
Oh, no. I've never heard of... Wait, what is Dick Fight Island?
It is the top-selling romance manga at the moment.
No, that's a different thing.
No, they're all dicks fighting on an island.
We cannot call this episode Dick Fight Island.
No. We call it Rich Fight Island, of course. Rich Fight Island.
Of course. Yes, I approve.
But except it's in the land of the Wizard of Oz. So your party gets swept away in a tornado, of course. And it's no place like home.
I don't think the wizard in the Wizard of Oz, now watch all the Wizard of Oz stands come out of the woodwork to just correct me, has a name. So I think you can, yeah.
The Wonderful Richard of Oz. There you go.
That's perfect. That's perfect. This is going to be like WandaVision, where it's like, oh my gosh, who is this guy? Who is Ralph Boner? And it's like, well, all that for a dick joke. Like, that's the great part about this, too. As a DM, you can hold this for like so long and be like, yeah, you're fighting this guy, also named Richard. You're a bunch of Richards, and you're going in. And he's like, ha 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 ha. At the very end, you get to spring that off. That it's been this elaborate joke the whole time. Oh, man. Okay, so... we got that. That is totally what we're going to do. It is not just going to be a measuring competition, but it will be a competition to see who is the best Richard in all of the lands. And I think Wizard of Oz, I think, is part of a multiverse, isn't it?
I mean, it kind of is because it's connected to Supernatural, which is also part of a multiverse.
And Once Upon a Time, which is definitely a multiverse. Yeah. So it's a multiverse today. So yeah, we can... we could just have it be that, yeah, they summon people from all... if you don't want to, you could just be they summon them from all across the land. And the great... oh, no, I got it. I got it, guys. I got how we work Wizard of Oz into this. The real wizard is not named Richard. He's not named Dick, even. He's just a guy. He's just somebody else who wanted to be Richard, and he's not. He's not a real Richard. So at the end, he's like running this whole competition, being like, who's the best Richard? You must best me. And then you learn his birth name is not Richard, and he's just trying to go by...
it's Cameron.
Cameron is trying to find Rich and and get
this
him
is the
quick.
Actual origin of the show.
Yeah.
This is how they came together.
It could be like a really, if we wanted to, we could make this really sweet. And it'd be like, hey, this whole time he's been looking for the real Rich. And he's like going through this competition trying to find it.
That's why the measuring is so important. He's trying to find the one that fits.
This is so meta for, like, the people who, like, watch the original show.
So, I, just sent the Wizard of Oz's real name.
Oh, it is? Yeah, he does have one. Okay, it's Oscar.
No, keep reading.
I'm not gonna read all of that.
He is a gnome, for sure.
Oscar Zoaster Ferragig is Isaac Norman Henkel Emmanuel... Ambrose's Dick. He's just the lich that we had to fight that one time in our telenovela episode.
So are we gonna have the wizard gonna be our big bad?
I mean, he could be. Well, we have to... okay, so what's the plot here? The plot is some sort of competition to determine the best rich. And the wizard's running it?
Yep.
Is the wizard really a rich? Because if he's not, then we have... our big bad, I'd say. If he is, then questionable.
He's not. He is a Cameron. He is searching for his rich.
So, okay. So basically, we live in a multiverse where Rick and Morty has been replaced by Cameron and Rich.
I mean, you didn't know that? Of course, we met several Riches and Cameron. I couldn't.
Okay, so we've got this competition. So this Cameron lost his rich. Okay. So he's decided...
in a fantastical world, yes.
Yeah, yeah. In Oz. Let's just keep it simple. We'll set this one in Oz. So he has been putting on this elaborate competition to find a new rich to complete his self. And so he's pulling all these different riches. So your character, well, that's the thing though. It gets complicated because if it's only one rich he's looking for, what are the characters going to do?
It's got to be a summoning circle that brings in the party.
Yeah, but if all the party are riches as well.
It could be time has passed since they last seen each other, so he doesn't know what the original rich is like anymore.
Well, no, but like if you have four players and what, like who's going to be the rich is the question. Like if he's looking for one rich.
None of them are the rich.
Then what are they doing there then?
They're part of the competition.
But if they're not going to win, why are they part of the competition?
I think something needs to happen to the riches that aren't real. I don't think death is the right answer.
Yeah, I was about to say, I think they should be the judges of it.
The riches?
Well, I don't think they should be riches.
Okay.
Or if they are, they're like judges, because you can't just pick one of the party members to be the winner.
No, I agree. I think that what you need to do here is have it be an external issue. So outside of the party, but the party can still be thinking which one of us is the rich, but none of them are.
I think Cameron lost his rich, so now no one can have a rich.
Oh, so we're back to Highlander.
Yes. He wants to destroy all the riches. Not to confuse with liches, but he wants to destroy all of them because he lost his partner. So that way, he gets them there real quick. That's just his scheme, is to get rid of all the riches quick scheme. And so that's why he summoned them to, like, Oz, which is a mystical land where, you know, where they have monkeys that can, you know, put you to sleep and stuff, with witches. So you can use hags instead of, like, witches. So they can go through the different stages of things and find beasts and monsters to fight. Because you can do, there's a scarecrow in the DM's monster manual. Mm-hmm. And then you can find a lion or something, like a manticore with a lion's head.
And then Warforged, obviously, for Tin Man. That's pretty simple.
So that way you have all these different obstacles for them to get through. And then once they finally get there, that's his death trap. And they have to try to see how many riches they can save.
Okay.
And like obviously stop Cameron.
Yes. So what we can do is, all right, so we have a bad guy. I'm going to start separating it from Rich and Cam, actually, for just sake of conversation, and also so that Rich and Cam know that we like them and that we're not trying to make them into big bads. We're just weaving them into their own universe. But we have a bad guy who lost his partner. And the partner, or that bad guy, then goes, I will summon all versions of them and try to find one for myself that I find fitting for me. The rest I will either destroy or no one will have any. I do think you could keep the beginning part of it being like a very silly, very fun competition. And then after a while, after he's like, none of these are my person, none of these are going to replace them, he just starts destroying them. He starts to just
death. I think you can make all your dick jokes, you know, off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
Have it be fun, casual, everyone's laughing. You know, make all your jokes in the beginning. And then as soon as one rich, like, messes up maybe the third time, I don't know, it could be an NPC or something, you just see it, like, being shot. Or you see the heart being taken out of its body, you know. Or maybe he saps all the emotion out of it and becomes, like, a living husk, kind of like in Strahd, where he takes the souls out so he doesn't have a heart. Heart, brain, and courage. You can play off those, and that could be, like, your progression.
I thought we were going to... I like that for part of the test, maybe. We do heart, brain, and courage for each test, or, like, types of test. And then for... I was going to say true polymorph, maybe. Turn them into something. Maybe, like, the ones that don't have enough intelligence. He's like, then you're all scarecrows. And, like, all the Warforged, he's like, you don't have the same heart. And, like, you know... Like, then you will be cursed to have no heart. Like, it's... It's a thing, like, he's turning them into monsters or, like, different things.
So if we don't want the party to be involved in the competitions, it could be interesting if they're going around kind of trying to help the riches who have failed the tests. Or maybe this wizard is trying to build his perfect rich, and he's taking pieces and parts from all the different riches that he pulls from across the land or the multiverse. So you'll run into a rich that is kind of monstrous, but it's monstrous just because its heart has been taken out. And so you can calm it and give it some kind of aid to try and help it out.
I like it.
I think we could play off with that, David, kind of also, not to bring another multiverse in here, but this could be the Wizard of Oz's way of making Horcruxes and such like that, maybe.
Elaborate.
So he's pulling parts of all these riches to make the ultimate rich lich, or the lich rich. And it's going to be their creation for ultimate protection. It can, you know, help it survive long enough. But maybe it's like an evil wizard who, instead of trying, you know, to keep the Emerald City alive and floating and working with everyone, it's ultimately trying to destroy this Oz that it's in. So instead of helping people, he's used a summoning circle to import all of these riches into the world. And now he's trying to, like David said, make the perfect rich who ultimately ends into like this super powerful lich that he can control. And that's thusly how he also gets money now, too. And he does a racketing system where he's like, you don't want your town destroyed? I know the big guy. That lich, I know how to block him. I know how to beat him. So he goes around. Maybe that could be his scheme as well.
I have an idea. And it might involve scrapping everything, but not so badly that it's everything gone. We've talked a lot about multiverses. I think it's because we all love multiverses. I also have witnessed in a very, you know... And I can't believe I didn't think of this before. Space Jam 2, A New Legacy came out recently, and it contains a scene in which LeBron James goes through a multiverse of various different movies, including The Wizard of Oz, because it's a WB property and they own a lot of WB stuff. However, doing that, bringing different versions of a character from different movie universes and making it that your characters are not even from The Wizard of Oz. They just wound up in The Wizard of Oz and are like, how do we get back to where we belong? We are in a random movie and this guy keeps pulling either movie characters or movie character versions of one person. So you could have like famous Richards, not only from like what we were talking about before, like Richard Nixon, blah, 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 these different people, Richard Pryor, you pull all these people from movies and things that they're in, and you have those versions of them in the thing. And some are going to be some deep cuts because, wow, it's going to be weird. But also, it would be really interesting, I think. Thoughts?
Yeah, I like that. I think to go off with that, I would have... Before you run the session, have your players all pick out one famous Richard that they like. You know, let's just go with Richard Pryor. And your job as a player, make a D&D character based off of Richard Pryor. But don't tell anyone besides the DM what your character looks like, what its race it's going to be, what classes you picked. Because I think you can go and that's the multiverse of all these Richard Pryors come in and they're all playing the same person. You could even take it a step further and tell them, like, I'm going to give you a different Richard to make a character off of. Be as creative as you want. But you each tell them, like, the same Richard, obviously. So you could do Richard Simmons, Richard Pryor. They come in, they get pulled in. But, like, this is how your characters can all be inclusive. But they're like, oh, shoot, we have to get out of here and go back to our own multiverse because they have to, one, now beat the guy who brought him there, which is the Wizard of Oz. This is his home turf. He has, like, the land. So you can go through the Yellow Brick Road. You can have encounters. You can use the Deep Gnomes or the Red Hats, the Red Caps for, you know, Munchkin Land. And you can have those references there.
Or trust the Queen Fae, who's very crazy and gives people shoes after they murder a witch.
Yeah, exactly. And then all of a sudden you have Richard Nixon who's in there. And you're like, why is Richard Nixon here? And then you pull in all these different, like, Richard Gears there all of a sudden. You're like, why is he here? And then you slowly start seeing, like, their emotions or their body parts being pulled away from them. And they're, like, sewn together behind this giant curtain. So quite literally, don't look at the man being built behind the curtain.
I like it. I will request, if anyone plays this is a weird one, I know. But, okay, if you do Richard Nixon, you gotta make him a rogue so he can steal everything and then say, I'm not a crook, and it'll be great. I love it. That's my request.
But, like, I think it's cool because then it's like, what race in D&D would you put them in? Like, Richard Nixon, what would he be? Out of a playable race, what could he possibly be? Like a...
He's a human.
Githzerai, maybe? A Grung?
Probably a Grung.
And then you go, like, what would Richard Simmons be? A satyr, probably?
He has a lot of energy. I don't know.
Yeah.
A gnome.
A gnome?
Or a halfling.
Oh, halfling would be good, yeah.
Richard Simmons? Are we thinking about the same guy?
Yeah, I think satyr or halfling would work. They're usually upbeat and chipper.
Hmm, fair enough.
Richard Pryor, like, Malcolm, what would you do for Richard Pryor?
I don't feel that I've watched enough of Richard Pryor's work. I feel like I'm going to shame my family if I tell, like I pick somebody and they're like, I remember when I ran my first ever campaign that I put a bunch of jackals as comedians. So I guess, because they're hyena heads, so they're funny.
So like Knowles then?
Knowles, thank you. Gosh. Oh, it's been too long. Okay, yeah. You can tell I haven't flipped through the DMG in a long time.
Yeah, because they're also found in the Monster Manual.
Yeah.
Lizard folk would be a good one. Could be.
But yeah, I think that having these different Richards from different universes, from wherever you want them to be, they can be characters, they can be real historical figures. We're saying Richards, guys, but it can be just normal characters from anywhere, and you can run the campaign the same way.
That's in a disclaimer.
Yeah, yeah.
Ringo's first name is actually Richard. Ringo Starr.
Oh, I thought you meant Rango for a second, and I got very excited.
Well, if you ever wanted to play Rango, Malcolm, you could, and just be Lizard Folk.
Moby.
Is he also a Richard, though? But, oh, you're right, Richard. So this would be really cool to just play a bunch of historical caricatures, because let's face it, no one's going to play them exactly, unless you have, like, Ringo Starr actually playing this. Which, wow, thanks for listening, Ringo Starr. But yeah, you just have it be that, like, a bunch of people are like, yeah, I want to play, and I want to be, like, these wild, ridiculous characters. So, just like D&D, but they're all summoned together from movies or different places in historical worlds, and it's like they're all summoned here to essentially fight to the death or fight until you die for the amusement of a wizard that you must figure out how to defeat.
And today I learned Cheech. His first name is also Richard.
Really? I need to look up some famous Richards now. We could have Reed Richards, the least popular Richard in the Marvel Universe.
Huh. Yeah, I think that would be a lot of fun. Or even just, like, tell your players to secretly make their characters based on them, but don't let them know that anyone else is doing it, and then have them reveal their name eventually. Like, oh yeah, my name is Richard. Wait, what? My name is Richard.
Yeah, I think it's great if you keep it secret.
I'm just waiting for someone to go, like, my name's Richard Richardson. Just whole thing.
Witches.
The most Richard they get.
Richie Rich.
Yeah, Richie Rich, there you go.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that cartoon.
Ooh, you could play like a summoner of Richard Attenborough, which is the old man from Jurassic Park.
I'm down for this game. This game does sound fun. Okay, so we have that. We have that these events will take brains, courage, and heart. What kind of situations are we thinking of putting them in for those?
I think for brains, you know, find some Richard-based riddle and throw them in into that, I think would be a fun one.
The riddle. How do you get dick from Richard?
No.
You ask nicely.
Well, there you go. There we have. Task one is complete. Put a stamp on it. Let's move on.
Okay, so I was going to say it should the thing of the competition, because I don't think anyone's going to stick around. I mean, no one in the quote-unquote real world of the Wizard of Oz world would stick around if they got summoned somewhere and some guy was like, be my friend! So I think the thing he offers them, of course, is riches! Money! Money, 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 money. So that's what keeps them there.
Well, I don't think they can't leave without him. So, like, they're at his mercy.
No, but, like, it's for the incentive of, like, you know, when someone's... It's not just... You're not jigsawed. You're not like, hey, the prize you win is your life. Isn't that great? Oh, yeah, go home happy. It's like, this is a little bit better. So, it's like, you can win, like... infinite money or like an amazing amount of money, something that your players would be like, oh, actually, that sounds pretty good. This guy summoned us here as like part of a game show, not a murder death trap. So that's my thought on it. So we got brains. Heart, I feel like, will be denying the riches at the end. I feel like that's got to be like a Ready Player One situation where it's like, oh, yes, you're the right person because you chose not to destroy everything, huh? Isn't that something, huh? And it's like, wow. Yeah, I guess the wrong person would have just destroyed everything, huh? Okay.
Alternatively, because this is D&D, we could keep those same three from the actual wizard movie, but we could also bump it to 6 and have one for every ability score.
I like this.
So you have to make it through the field of flowers that normally puts people to sleep. That's your contest.
Your contest.
It's the Dick Stamina competition.
Can you keep it up long enough to get through?
I'm dead. This is going to be our first explicit episode where it's just like a big thing. Because we can't just erase all the dick jokes. They're in there now, and it's just...
It's not explicit. This is just the Richard measuring contest. I'm sorry I shortened.
That is true. We are talking about names the whole time. The whole
and
time.
Nothing else.
Only names.
Dexterity would be the measuring competition.
I think it would be measuring how far they can go. So it'd be like, maybe like a triathlon or something.
You can do a charisma check of like how much you can be a jerk to someone.
No, I got it for constitution though. I thought of another good one is just boxing. So you can have dick in a box.
No, that's strength. Strength.
There
is,
we go.
Old fisticuffs. It's just like, what do you mean it's just fisticuffs? Yeah, it's just fisticuffs. All right, let's get these dicks in a box.
It's fisticuffs.
So, okay, we got strength.
Dicks a cuff.
We got constitution. What else is left? Intelligence.
This would be the brain.
Yeah, this is where they have to use their head.
I feel like David's just dying over here. We have full visual on David. He is okay.
Oh, I'm a child.
Like, this is never being promoted. This is the practice to get back in the swing of it. This is never Patreon.
This is Patreon.
Patreon $100. If you are a Patreon subscriber for $100, you can hear the ones that don't make the cut.
Okay, so strength,
dex.
Dex. What is dex?
Dex is the measuring competition. Either how far you can go or how well you
can. We could do some like acrobatics and stuff there too. That'd be good. I'm trying to keep a straight face.
I failed. I'm gone. Intelligence. Did we have something for brains yet? That was the riddles.
Oh. Yeah, riddles.
Riddles.
Okay.
We would just put normal riddles. Just normal riddles.
Wisdom could be courage. Because to beat a fear save, you need to make a wisdom roll, usually.
I feel like that's where you have, like... I feel like that's where you can, like, have an actual line. And it's like, get in there with that line. And it's like, what? What happened to all the dick jokes? And it's like, nope, this way you just wrestle a lion. Good luck. You gotta... No, that's what it is. You have to rip out a lion's heart. So it's Richard Lionheart.
Or you have to go through that spooky forest and deal with, like, terrors that are in there.
And those can be whatever the DM wants, because they specifically say that there is, like, other stuff in there. They're just afraid of lions and tigers and bears.
Oh, my.
Thank you. Thank you. Oh, go ahead, Sam. Sorry.
I was reading what Neil was saying. Richard, the lion's heart.
Okay. And so that covers wisdom. What else we have after
Charisma.
That? Charisma.
I think it's the jerk-off contest. Who can be the biggest jerk?
I hate you. I hate you so much. I hate you for making me a child.
I don't get it. Like, intimidation, persuasion,
this one
that's
could be
all
intimidation and persuasion.
No, that makes sense.
Performance, right. Too. Performance is it?
Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah, it's fine. It's just stand-up comedy. This is where Richard Pryor shines.
Oh, wow. We can never release this episode, ever.
I think it's fine.
Oh, my God.
This may actually have to be our first ever Patreon exclusive. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
What's the last one? Last one is...
That's all 6.
Okay.
That's all of them.
Good. Okay, so we have the whole competition. It needs... I need it to somehow involve Dick's Sporting Goods. No advertisement. Just Dick's Sporting Goods in there. Just at some point. Maybe that's where the boxing happens. It doesn't matter. You gotta
change that. It's Richard's Sporting Goods.
That's true.
And that's... If they need any equipment, there'll just be like a stand. It'll be like a booth. Richard's Sporting Goods.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, mm-hmm. it's in case they need armor or something like that.
Some sort of protection.
It's a pop-up booth.
Yeah, protection, yeah.
To be clear, guys who are listening, we guys, gals, and non-binary pals, we've had weird episodes, but we haven't had an episode like this.
We have all just gotten off a hard move. We've all moved. I'm exhausted. And we're having a dick of an old time here. Charles Dickens would be very proud of us.
Oh, that's another one. Yeah, bring him in.
Charles too. Richardson.
Yes.
Yeah, if this is your first episode, I apologize.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. We're not normally like this. None of us have had this in a while. This is just nice to be back. This is just friends goofing at this point.
Yeah, please still give us 5 inches. I mean, 5 stars on Apple iTunes.
Oh, God. Alrighty, so what happens after we... So how do they beat the wizard and...
So we decided this is your party kind of following along and seeing the competitions and kind of helping out the people who failed? Or are we trying to get the party to go through them now?
I think we're trying to get them to go through them now. We have them pulled from different universes.
Okay, that's good. So we get to see them go through these challenges. Maybe you don't need to be, like, first place. Just to win, you need to be better than, like, half of the Richards. You cut down on the number of people participating each time. And, like, your party might be, like, the last people, or your party and another party worth of people are the final ones to make it to the wizard at the end. And they find out what they're competing for.
Is the wizard also a lich?
I think that's good.
Yeah, you know what? Maybe we make the wizard a lich as well. And he wants to be the biggest and baddest Rich the Lich. And he wants to, this is his get rich quick scheme here, is gathering all the riches in all the most powerful and famous riches across. So maybe this is a high leveled like one shot, right? Everyone's level 20. So everything's ridiculous at this point.
Yeah.
They're famous riches in their own mind, in their own mindset. In their own, like, multiverse. They're all coming together. They get grouped up as a party. They just so happen, you know, to get grouped up as a party, and they have to go through. And the whole thing is, like, who's the best rich? And your party's like, we're gonna be the best rich! And then you finally, at the end, you face the lich, and he's throwing all of these different things at you. And you can, you know, like we did throughout this whole episode, throw in dick jokes, because, you know, they're there. This might be an episode you want to skip if you don't like dick jokes. We should put that as a disclaimer in the front.
Yep.
But you can also swap this out with pretty much any other name and drop all the vulgarity. And this could be the competition for Timmy's.
Yeah. Very true. But yeah, that's fun, basically, I like that a lot. you're going through these, and like that's why they're there. It's like, one, you get to be the best, and two, you can get riches too. I think you're right, Malcolm. There should be monetary or some sort of reward. So it, as a DM, I would know what my players are looking for, or try to ask them maybe 3 or 4 sessions in advance. Hey, if per se you're looking for rare items, or like, hey, everyone give me like a wish list of like items you're looking for, something you might like for your character. Now's the time. Or like, you know, if your character has a dead mom and they're like, I really want my mom to be back to life. Here's your chance to bring her back to life. It's like the Fable downloadable content. You can get your dog back.
And I think that the best part about the name being variable is anytime this campaign is run with a different name, because your characters are going to be based on like variants and people from either movies or history that just have that name, it's going to be an incredibly different campaign each time you run it.
I want to see one with Arnold so we can get the Terminator in there.
Yeah, Arnold Palmer.
Mm-hmm.
He's just an alchemist. I made this drink for you.
I'm trying to think of different names that would have like as big an impact culturally. Chris. Like Chris is pretty big.
Chris, yeah.
Chris is a good one. Then you just play the Four Chrises of Hollywood right now.
No, honestly. I know. That's what, yeah, I think that's a smart one.
We'll save my opinions for that off screen. I don't want to mention which Chris I'm not a fan of, but you know.
Pratt.
Yeah. Yes. What? I just didn't like Jurassic World, guys. I don't know what to say. Like,
and that's the only reason.
Sure.
Anyway, shall we wrap this one up?
Oh, I think before we get there, what do we want like the climax of this to be as they're battling this final... That one was unintentional.
Sure it was.
And that's why my brain was like, hey, this was supposed to be funny.
This final battle with the Lich at the very end, who's searching for his Rich.
I think this climactic battle of Richards should obviously end with, you know, it's... I can't think of anything. All the things I thought of were, like, Spaceballs... And then also Power Rangers. And if you don't know why I thought of those two things, there are very specific quotes that you can figure out on your own that I'm not going to say.
So it's basically the Lich is going to give you kind of the breakdown. He's like, I'm searching for my Rich. I want to harvest the parts from you. You've won, so your riches that you've gained will be passed to a family member of your choosing, and then I'm going to take you apart and make my person. If you refuse, we're going to fight, and then you can have this epic climactic fight in the Land of Oz. And of course, because this wizard is so powerful, you got to have him, like, either meteor swarm or some kind of earthquake, and then, I don't know, that causes a volcano to start erupting underneath them, just, you know...
Oh, I think he can summon the Munchkins. I think that's part of it, too. Like, you can use red caps as, like, just reskin them as the Munchkins. And you have, like, all the song goes through. And they're just like, oh, my God, help. It's all of them, too. They're just getting kicked in the kneecaps left and right. If you want even more, like, say they get past pretty easily all of, like, the role-playing aspects of the quests and challenges. That's when you can bring in, like, Boss Scarecrow or Boss Tin Man, maybe even Dorothy and Toto as well. Like, I think this is where you can, like, really step up.
It can be what was used to make the last Rich.
Yeah.
The husks are, like, their pets. That their great parts were taken to make the previous incarnation of the ultimate Rich.
I love how I'm the horror guy, but you guys always come up with something way more disturbing. For the ending, especially for a one-shot, I think it's a really interesting idea to have it be that your character can choose to just sacrifice himself and that be it. Like, people are like, nah, really, I'm going to pass it on. Like, your party members can have the riches and deliver them to the person. I will give you that. But I just need a friend, and that is going to be you because you are the best Rich. Like, I think that's great. Even if it's like, even if it's not modification, I feel like that's even more creepy to be like, yeah, it's just you and me forever now. Yeah.
Well, yeah, if your party, you know, sacrifices themselves after becoming the greatest Riches, then that gives you a great, you know, thing to thread into a main campaign too. And you don't even have to mention it. You can just use parts and aspects of those Riches, you know. And that could even be if you say if you have six players, you know, you look down their list and you just take their best ability score and you plug them in to like, so say Rich One has a high strength, you take the strongest strength, you plug it in there, and then you keep going that way. And then your Lich is super powered for when you want to do something with it.
That's really good. Yeah, I think we've come to a good conclusion.
I think we've risen enough.
All right, that's enough being silly. Let's wrap this episode up. Who even is doing that right now? Is it who's the recap?
I announce things, so I don't think I have to do the.
You have the recap, my friend.
Oh, cool. Good.
I have the fun synopsis for this one.
I don't want it. I'm so glad it's you. I would be so sad if it was me.
I don't even know what. You know what? All right.
Let me give a little recap first and give you some time to come up with that. Once upon a time, there was a world where there were no riches, except for one. And he chose to summon all the riches in for a big Richard competition to see who the best Richard is. So those Richards got together. Secretly, though, the evil Richard, who may or may not actually be a Richard, decided then that he was going to be a real punk about it and chose to have them all compete to determine who's the best Rich. That Rich would then be able to seek audience with him, where he would then say that he would take pieces of them and put them into one body to make the ultimate Rich, which is a Rich Lich, that would be brought back to life and be his best friend forever. There have been some jokes. There have been plenty of jokes of all kinds, and they're there. So you can listen to those again if you want. It's pretty fun, all in all. You can bring them from different movies, different historical times, like, go nuts. We've talked before about branching outside of D&D if you want to. This seems like a really goofy campaign, so if you wanted to use something else, that'd be pretty cool too. But for the most part, this one takes place in Oz. You have some ideas where you can put the stats all together and have different tests based off those. So, all in all, good time. Family friendly. Sure.
Okay. Beaten, battered, and bruised, your party makes its way inside the Emerald City, where they are taken as the champions of the riches. They have won. They have been able to beat all of your DM dastardly deeds. They've completed your sick quests, your con saves, your ability score modifying leaps of death. They did it. They get there, and they are greeted by a floating head, one asking for them to give their bodies and souls and their best parts up to him so he may incorporate them into the ultimate Rich. What will your party do? How will they fare? Will they give their souls to the Rich and become the greatest part of the Lich of Rich? Or will they fight to the death, escaping with gold in hand?
Very nice.
Very proud of you. Good job. I was giggling the whole time. I had to hold like back my giggles because they weren't even about anything. It was just like, oh, he's going to do a joke. And I was like, stop.
It was very hard to not do a joke.
Yeah, dick jokes can be hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're and usually soft. Damn it.
Okay. This was...
It was just fun.
Yeah, this is a good time. This is a good time.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to this interesting episode of Filling in the Gaps Rerolled. Our theme music is Today by Linby off of their album Drive. If you like it, you can hear more from them at linby.bandcamp.com or on their actual play podcast, Bombarded. You can find the show on Twitter at FitGDND. We have links to our Discord in there, and we'd love for you to come join the hive and chat with us. I am David. You can find me at Daedra18. That is DAEDRA18.
I was your theme host for today, and my name, as always, is DM Mambo or Sam, and you can find me at DM Mambo 5 on the Twitter.
And my name is Malcolm, but follow the show at FitGDND. Because I don't need any popularity, so give the show pop. Give us 5 stars. That'd be nice.
Yeah, hey, help us become a grower.
God. We're already a show, so, you know.
Yeah, we want to be bold.
This episode's not going to air.
Help. Noob, help. Cut us off. Don't forget about Obtuse Audio.
Obtuse Audio Studios, produce this show.
Okay, sorry.
Show is edited by our wonderful audio gremlin, Andrew Brown. You can follow them on Twitter at xnubinator912x. As has been mentioned, we are an Obtuse Audio Studios podcast. You can learn more about the company at obtuseaudio.com. Also, as mentioned, please don't forget to give us a 5-star rating and review on your podcast catcher of choice. It really helps us get seen. Although, maybe this episode is not a great example of that, or a great candidate for that.
We're normally very different.
Yeah, this is a mulligan.
What's in your thoughts? Oh, what's in your mind? What fills your head and what leaves it behind? It's too much today. It's too much today. Colorful living is not quite like
obtuse audio.